day, listeners. We all hope that you're enjoying this beautiful fall weather that we've been having over the last couple of weeks. And thank you all for tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits, and I am your host, Taylor McClure. On today's episode, I chat with Fiona from Action Plus Rome Missisquoi. Fiona is the co-coordinator and advocacy officer at Action Plus Rome Missisquoi, an organization that works to defend the rights of people on social assistance in the Rome Missisquoi region, to raise awareness around the laws on social assistance here in Quebec, and it works to collectively bring people together to address issues of poverty in our communities. With the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty making its way around the corner, Fiona reached out to CIDI to inform our listeners on Action Plus Rome Missisquoi, the services that it can provide the English-speaking community, what poverty looks like here in the region, and what the group is doing to raise awareness around social assistance, the complex issues related to social assistance, and poverty here in our area. We hope that you enjoy our conversation. Fiona, I wanted to start off by thanking you so much for coming on down to CIDI and for reaching out to us to chat all about Action Plus Rome Missisquoi. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So Fiona, as I mentioned, we're here today because you reached out to us a few weeks ago regarding nonprofit organization Action Plus Rome Missisquoi and wanting to get your services out there to the English-speaking community and to bring our listeners together around the subject of poverty here in our region. So as someone who only became aware of your group once you emailed me, I was wondering if you could just start off by telling us, telling our listeners a little bit about your organization and what your mission is here in Rome Missisquoi.
Awesome. Well, we are located in Cowansville. We used to be in Farnham 2 years ago since 1983. Mm-hmm. So we are an association made up of members who are mostly socially assisted people. So that would be people who are on social welfare, people who have social solidarity, who have severe limited capacity for employment. And there's also a new program, basic income program. So these people come together to collectively defend their own rights, but also we give a service of individual rights defense because the law that covers all social assistance in Quebec sometimes isn't completely fair. And a lot of people struggle to defend their own rights, and there's a lot of bureaucracy involved with it. But we're also very much concerned with people who are stricken by poverty, and more so nowadays, it's not only people on social assistance, but it's a lot of people who work with minimum salary. So basically, that's our mission in general.
Okay, great. And so your group is made up of individuals who experience this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we aim to bring people together from the I to the us, basically.
Okay.
So there's a lot of issues. For instance, one issue on social welfare is, in French, it's la vie maritale. So it's having a spouse under social welfare. It's not only having a spouse, really. Anyone who cohabitates for more than 12 months with someone who helps them out. So that could be sharing groceries. That could be sharing a car, which nowadays is pretty normal, mm-hmm. considering the cost of living, could be considered a spouse and therefore having their monthly money reduced greatly because they're considered a couple. So for instance, when people come to us with that problem, we can't help them that much because the law says that that is right. So we bring people together to collectively say, that is wrong. I am one person. I should have one check every month. And it goes the same for a lot of women in Quebec who mainly women, but people who are at home and who don't work, take care of their children, for instance, or their household. Many in Quebec are left without social assistance because from the moment someone makes more than $350 a month, they almost don't qualify. They have to make their spouse live, basically. It's very complex, but like the issues like this that are, I think to most people, they don't seem normal. Those issues, we try to make people come together and discuss it, okay. and perhaps protest or have opinions to our elected officials.
Or just raise awareness.
Raise awareness and also to prejudice in general, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of prejudice towards people who are on social assistance, seeing them as people who are lazy, who simply don't want to work, when in fact, poverty is so much more complex than that,
yes.
unfortunately. And you probably talk about the housing crisis.
Oh, I've spoken many times with people who are working on affordable housing projects, and it's affecting everyone. It's not, poverty's not discriminatory towards anybody. And, you know, when we were coordinating this interview together, you mentioned to me over the phone, like you've been speaking about here, how the subject of poverty here in Brome Nisisqua needs to be highlighted, as it has become more apparent here in our communities. So I didn't know if you wanted to expand on this a little bit more for our listeners and highlight what is going on in Brome Nisisqua right now. You know, sometimes in small rural communities, we have these thoughts that these issues are not happening here because we're not seeing it, or and it's more concentrated toward the city centers, but as you mentioned, it's not the case.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in the area, what's special about Brome Nisisqua in general and also the eastern townships is that when there is homelessness, it is much more invisible than in the big centers. We have a lot less services as well because we lack public transportation in the area. I mean, people who are in Countsville have a lot of services. In different towns, there's different services depending on where you are. But in general, if you are poverty stricken, for example, you're in Bolton West and you're poverty stricken, you're pretty much all by yourself. If you can't afford a car, if you don't have very close friends who want to give you rides to food banks, being homeless around here is a lot more complicated. And actually, I have some stats with me from La Cellule Jeune et Famille de Brome Nisisqua, which is a community organization that we work with in Countsville.
Yes.
They are in contact with people who are in homelessness, and they have stats from the last 6 months just in Countsville in their offices. They've seen 26 different people who suffer from homelessness.
Wow.
So that's a lot more than I think a lot of people around here would conceive. Mm-hmm. And even like in the stats, it's half and half Anglophone, Francophone. Some are younger, some are older. And they are also noting that only 3 of these 26 people have had access to social housing since then.
Wow.
In 6 months.
Yeah.
So when people say the housing crisis, we will find an issue. There is social housing already. That is not sufficient. Clearly, we can see that's a very small percentage, 3 out of 26, who found social housing.
Yes.
So not only our community organization, but every one of them that we are in contact with are stricken by they're overloaded, really, by the demand of poverty at the moment. That's our main mission, is defending people who are stricken by poverty. And unfortunately, that's more and more and more people nowadays.
Yeah, so are you seeing an increase in the demand for your services as well?
Sure. For sure. There's more and more people who need to be on social assistance because people have less and less means to tend to their health. Because when you, for instance, the basic amount for social assistance, if you don't have a note from the doctor, that is accepted by the government. So that's not anything. So if you have a concussion, you won't get a severe disability, for sure. If you have a burnout, most often you won't have more money. You'll have the basic income, which is $770 per month. With that right now, you can't go very far. Most people barely cover their rent with that amount. So if they went out of work, for instance, for a burnout, or a very hard separation in which they need mental health leave, they won't be in a position where they can better their health, really, if they're on social assistance. And that's the case for a lot of people who, for some reason or another, they lost their job, have a less paying job, have to work less hours. They can't invest in their health, and therefore they're kind of stuck in the cycle of poverty.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot more people coming to us because they're going on social assistance. A lot more people are having health problems and want to recognize that they have a severe disability.
And get better, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's not part of our services, is help. We don't have mental health or physical health services. We can only help people defend their rights, and we can only hear them when they have troubles with their health. But unfortunately, we can also not help them pay their groceries, for them to eat better, for them to better their health. So it's a very complex issue that we really want to press the collective side.
Yeah. But one big thing that you're noting here is that people have this idea that those who are in a cycle of poverty or whatnot are not working, and they're choosing not to work. But you're bringing up a really good point that that's not the case the majority of the time. People can be sick, which forces them to take off work. People can lose their jobs and they can't find another for some reason or another, which I think is really important now because it's kind of emphasizing even more that poverty is not just going in one direction. It's going in many.
It could affect everyone, really.
Exactly.
And everyone is not everyone, but everyone in the middle class is very close to being in the same level of poverty of people in social assistance. We're one burnout away. We're one close family tie away. Say we lost a relative that could help us out. If we were homeless, we're just homeless, you know. We're all very close to that poverty, really, in our society right now.
And you were mentioning a little bit before, you know, some of the challenges that people here in Bow Missisquoi face and trying to get out of that cycle. But I was really curious to know, you know, are there any particular factors here in our region that can affect our community's quality of life that they can have? Sorry, you know, it depends on where you're living, there are factors that can contribute to creating those situations. I didn't know if there was something you noticed in particular as an organization.
There is definitely the housing crisis, which I already mentioned, which is huge. If people lose their housing right now, what is on the market is well, well, well below the income of someone who's on social assistance. I mean, it's like $1,400 is the average in Alton. Full-time, I think right now, like after all deductions, if you're working full-time, that's $1,525, you know? That's not a lot per month. And that's almost a 3.5 right now. So that is definitely housing crisis. There is also consumption that is on the rise. There is a food security. The food banks, we don't have a food bank personally, but the community organizations like the Centre d'Action Bénévole de Cowansville,
yes.
I know there's a food bank in Knowlton here.
Yeah.
I can only assume they are also overloaded by the demand at the moment. The cellule that I mentioned their statistics earlier, they do urgency food bank, and they have had in the last 6 months 163 interventions, and it is only on the rise. It is never ending at this point. And so we do see that rise a lot, and also people needing their rights to be defended is also on the rise because social assistance, unfortunately, they are overloaded by the demand as well. Not only us, but also the government, unfortunately.
So there's just so many things contributing to this situation that need to be resolved.
Sorry, it's kind of a bummer.
No, I just really wanted, because it is a complex issue, like you mentioned, so, and it can be hard to understand what could be creating this. So I just really wanted to get some examples. So that's great. Now, you mentioned that you wanted to highlight some of the services that you offer to the English-speaking community in particular. So you're mentioning how you are defending people's rights. So I didn't know if you wanted to highlight what that could look like for people that might be listening about what's happening here and that could benefit from your services. I didn't know if you wanted to expand on what you provide in particular a little bit more.
So for anyone who's on social assistance or who considers themselves as under the poverty line, really, they can reach out to us because we do have activities. We do workshops. We try to inform people on their rights on social assistance. Also, just generally bringing people into a reflection about the complexity of poverty, the complexity of the issues in our society that lead to poverty. So they can reach out to us. But for people who have specific issues with the law considering social assistance, they can reach out to us, and we do personal rendezvous basically with people to help them defend their rights. So if you know someone who's on social assistance and needs help, sometimes it's as simple as understanding or having a conversation with an agent. Some people from the Anglophone community, they have a very hard time being served well in Quebec over the phone by the agents, or being understood if they don't speak French, a certain level of French. And I often have people, Anglophone speakers, who come to me and they say they're simply misunderstood, and they feel as though sometimes there's errors and they get quote-unquote caught for things that they wouldn't have because they simply didn't understand what they were told on the phone by an agent. So we can offer that service as well, just accompanying people and being understood by their agents.
Okay, great. And so, like, if you're fighting for their rights, do you have lawyers and staff on hand, essentially, or?
No, we study the law from up close, and we do the research for people, basically. And when it comes to a point where we do need a lawyer, we need to go to the tribunal. We make the connections there.
Okay, so you help them set up that appointment with the lawyer. Okay, so you're just like the middleman trying to ensure that people get in touch with the right services that they need.
And also just knowing a basic level of the law concerning social assistance, which is very complex and which doesn't seem very rational sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we do, like, for instance, you're only allowed on social welfare to make $200 a month per month, or else you will be cut every excedent dollar. So say if you made $300, you'd be cut $100 off your check the next month. But if you don't declare it, then you'll be cut an additional $100 for false declaration. But a lot of people don't know that. They'll think, oh, I can work $200 a month. So I'll just do that. I'll find the very few employers who want to hire someone for $200 a month for like maybe a day and a half of work. And then some people get caught like a year later and they owe like, I don't know, $6,000 to social welfare. And they're like, well, I only work $200 every month. I don't get it. But like a very short phone call with us, we would have told them, hey,
you
have to report it. We know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of bureaucracy. You have to go to Callensville to the office every single time. But it's one of those little things that just knowing your rights better would lead to less issues.
Now, we had the chance to speak about your organization a little bit and what's happening here in Bromissisqua. But you also mentioned to me before we sat down together that your group will be partaking and organizing activities for the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty in mid-October. So I can't wait to hear more about that. Will people have the opportunity to discover more about your organization during this time?
Yes. Well, basically, the first event that we do have on the agenda for that week is more so the social determinants of health, basically. And we're calling out to community leaders, so, or self-identifying community leaders to come to this event. It'll be more so of a deeper reflection on the health and on poverty. What leads to our health system being overloaded by poverty and vice versa. At this event, we will have the Dr. Jenny Ull, who she's a community psychologist and the chairholder of the RISS. And there's also Dr. Horacio Aruda, which you might have known from COVID-19, from the pandemic. He was the Ministry of Health. Basically, the Deputy of Health. They will both be there, and also Dr. Isabelle Sanson, who is the Public Health Director in Estrie. So it'll be three conferences, a workshop, just to bring general awareness, but also just a deeper reflection, because a lot of people are aware of the poverty, but they're not aware of the very complex issues at hand, really, the social determinants, what leads to our health system being so overloaded. Mm-hmm. How could we invest in poverty to improve both things, not only improve people's dignity, but also improve everyone's health generally.
Yeah. Society.
Helping society. Exactly. So this will be at the St. John Center in Bromont, and it's a free event. It's at 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. There will be food there if that can help people want to come out. We'll have free food. It's the 16th of October, which is the Monday, and it's called Action on Poverty to Improve Everyone's Health.
Okay.
So you can find that on Facebook if anyone wants more info on that event.
And are you doing any other activities as well throughout that time?
That week will be pretty busy. The next day, we have our members actually have organized this event, which is the protest for the International Day of the Eradication of Poverty. We really want to underline and revendicate for protective rights, protective social rights. So, namely, that means a law that guarantees that our basic needs are met. So housing, affordable and clean housing, where in which we can live a healthy life. And also better access to health and education services, and measures allowing for everyone to be fed properly. There's a lot of problem with food security around here. This will be a protest. It's going to be taking place at the corner of Church and Dusud Street in Cowansville. So it's not going to be a protest on the street per se. It's going to be with the pedestrian signals. We're not going to be blocking traffic too much, but we really want to be educating people. The people who are driving, we're inviting people to stop and talk with us. So if people have low mobility as well, they can bring a camping chair. We'll have coffee. So it's really going to be a lively protest against poverty, really. Okay. Because it is, and as we've talked earlier, it is very much a problem in Promsisqua, and we want to highlight that. It's not just happening in Montreal. It's not just happening in America. It's happening right here. Mm-hmm. So we want to have a protest with our members, and not just our members, anyone, any citizen who feels concerned.
I know that you wanted to speak on the eradication of poverty a little bit for our listeners. You mentioned it in before when we were coordinating our interview by email. So I didn't know what about the eradication of poverty do people need to know? What are some of the important aspects of discussion related to eradication of poverty that you think people need to be informed of during this time?
Oh, I think it's very complex for sure. Like the event Action on Poverty, that's mainly the goal is to get people to brainstorm on how can we eradicate poverty here? Because obviously we know that there's a lot of poverty globally. Mm-hmm. And we find ways to go help out. How do we help out our people here? And that goes through community organizations, having them better funded, because we are on the front line of crisis, really. We are on the front line of addiction. We are on the front line of mental health issues. And that's also, I think, the goal, the purpose of the event on the 16th is to pinpoint the importance of investing in health for everyone. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, investing in poverty. So for us as an organization, something we are advocating for is for a basic income for everybody, which would give people the means to invest in their health and having a better social safety net. So basic income for everybody. I think for some people, it sounds kind of crazy because it means everyone, even rich people, would have a basic income, really. But it would really mean that everyone would have a social safety net. Everyone would have their society with open arms waiting for them to land if they have a huge bad luck in their lives, you know? Mm-hmm. So we are advocating for everyone to have their basic needs met with social assistance.
So basically like a living mm-hmm. wage, basically, mm-hmm. not minimum wage, mm-hmm. a living wage.
Mm-hmm. Living wage, basically. Yeah, exactly. And at the moment that we are so far from that, the amount that people on social welfare are receiving, it's either 770, 923, or 1205.
Okay.
And that is way below what we need as humans to meet our basic needs. And it is way below what a human would need to get their health back on track, mm-hmm. either mental health or physical health. So that is what we're advocating for. But we know it is complex poverty. So that's why we want to bring people together to reflect on it and to see what are their ways to change it. Locally.
Those are all the questions that I had for you, Fiona, about your organization and your events. You talked very thoroughly, and I really appreciate that. I'm sure people out there will appreciate that as well, who haven't heard of your organization before. But I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention that I may not have touched on in my questions that you think would be important for people to be aware of.
That's it for today. But if people want to check out our website or our Facebook page, we are Action Plus Promsisqua. And we do share different things on different events, but also our workshops if people want to attend, learn more about poverty in general, but also social assistance. And don't be scared to reach out. We're there.
Great. Well, thank you so much again, Fiona. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.